Now, it sounded like, from as many voices as we're talking, as long as that took, it sounded like God's been pretty good to us over the last couple weeks. And maybe we forget sometimes. Maybe we get really busy and we get really distracted, and we're getting ready to get into that part of the year where things get really hectic, when we're making plans for holidays and who's going where and what all are we buying, and we still got activities to get to, and there's just a lot of things that distract us from how good God is. And so I'm glad that we had a reminder of that this morning. We've been talking for the last couple weeks about this concept of allowing things to overflow out of our lives because of what God has overflowed into our lives. And we recognize that God pours things in, but there's not just an expectation for us to enjoy the things that he pours in, but there's an expectation for us to pour out the things that he has poured into us. So we've looked at this challenge from the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 8. And by the way, I'll go ahead and tell you now, we're going to spend a lot of time in 2 Corinthians chapters 8 and 9 today. So if you want to have your Bibles open there or your Bible apps, just know we're going to have several verses from there this morning. But 2 Corinthians chapter 9 verse 8, remember Paul says, "And God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work." And we talked about how when you go back to the ancient Greek language that this verse was written in, that when we see that English word abundantly, and we see that English word abound, those come from the same Greek word that means to go beyond the expectation, to go beyond the boundaries, to overflow. And so Paul is saying God is going to overflow blessings into my life, not just so that I can have those things and enjoy those things for myself, but that I will be empowered to pour out those things from my life into the lives of others. And so we talked about that. We talked about what that looks like. We talked about how we experience this overflowing love from God, and we're supposed to pour out that love into the lives of other people. We talked last week about the gifts, the abilities, the talents, the opportunities that God gives us, that God pours into our lives. And we're supposed to, we're called to, overflow in service to other people, that we look for those opportunities to bless other people, to help, to assist, to serve in some way. So we're going to continue talking about this morning, this challenge of the things that God pours into us and the things that as a result of that, we pour out of our lives. Now, Paul in 2 Corinthians, this last verse we have was in chapter 9. If you go back one chapter to chapter 8, Paul gives a challenge to this church in Corinth. That's who he's writing to. He's got a special relationship with the folks there, and he knows some things about them. And he says in chapter 8 and verse 7, "Since you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in the love that we have kindled in you, see that you also excel in this grace of giving." Now, Paul, look at what Paul says here. Paul says, look, I see it. I see how you are pouring things out of your life that God is pouring into you. I see that you're pouring faith out because of your trust and your belief in God and how he has built that faith, how he has answered prayers and done things for you, and you recognize that about him, and you are pouring out faith into the lives of other people. The knowledge that you're receiving from him about who he is, about how he feels about you, about his expectations for your life, you are pouring those things out into the lives of others. I see this love that you have received, and we kind of told you about that in the first place, but you're growing in that love, you're experiencing that love from God, and I see that it's on display in the lives of other people. I see how you're loving each other. But then he gives them this challenge at the end of that verse. With all these things that God is pouring into your life, with all the blessings he has given you, and all the ways that it is on display that you're pouring those things out in response to what you've been given, make sure that you also overflow, that you also excel in generosity and giving. That needs to be something that pours out of your life as well. Don't forget to pour out the blessings that have been poured into you. Don't forget to share with other people what God has shared with you. And that's always been God's expectation of his people. God has always anticipated and challenged for his people when he pours blessings in their lives, when he gives them possessions, when he gives them money, when he gives them blessings, that they are not supposed to just enjoy those things for themselves. He wants us to enjoy the blessings that he gives us, but also to use those things for a couple of purposes. One is to bring glory to him, to honor him, to thank him. And two is to bless other people with those things. I mean, you go all the way back to the Old Testament when God was leading his people out of Egyptian slavery and leading through the wilderness to the land that he was going to give them. And he's going to be their God. He's going to make a covenant with them. And he was going to establish the kingdom of Israel. On the way there, he gives them some challenges. And one of the things that he says in Deuteronomy chapter 12, beginning verse 11, he says, "There you are to bring everything that I command you, your burnt offerings and sacrifices, your tithes and special gifts, and all the choice possessions that you have vowed to the Lord, and there rejoice before the Lord your God." What is God telling his people? I'm going to give you things. I'm going to give you crops. I'm going to give you livestock. I'm going to give you money. I'm going to give you land. And the things that I bless you with, I want you to take some of that and give it back. Now, does God need livestock and grain and land and gold? No, he's God. But look at the end of this verse. What does he say? Why does he want his people to be willing to give back some of what he has given them? I want you to give those things and rejoice before the Lord your God. I want you to worship. I want you to celebrate. I want you to honor me for giving those things to you. I want you to recognize that I'm the one that gave you those things. I want you to acknowledge that with each other and bring honor and thanksgiving to me for giving those things to you. So God gives us blessings and expects us to give them, to share them, so that he is honored, so that he gets the credit for what we do with the blessings that he's given us. Does that make sense? Not only that, but if you go a couple of chapters over in Deuteronomy chapter 14, here's one of the commands that God gives his people here. At the end of every 3 years, bring all the tithes of that year's produce and store it in your towns so that the Levites who have no allotment or inheritance of their own and the foreigners and the fatherless and the widows who live in your towns may come and eat and be satisfied, and so that the Lord your God may bless you in all the work of your hands. God wanted his people to give, to take some of what he had given them and give it to other people. Recognizing that there's going to be people who are in need, that there's going to be people who don't have what you have. So be willing to share that. Be willing to give some of that back to honor God and also to help other people. There's other reasons that we could come up with, but at the core of what God has always wanted from his people is a willingness to give, a willingness to share, because they recognize that the blessings that they have come from him, not just from their own effort. And they recognize there's people that need to be blessed in the way that he has blessed me, and I'm going to do what I can to help them. Fast forward several hundred years. God still has that expectation for his church. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 12, as Paul is talking to the church in Corinth about giving and about sharing and about being generous. He says this, "The service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but it is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God." So here again, Paul says the same thing that God had challenged his people with hundreds of years before. You need to share. You need to be willing to give. You need to be willing to take the blessings that God gives you and share those things with other people. Why? Two reasons that Paul gives here. One is there's people in need, and you are going to be able to meet those needs. That's a good thing. That's what I want for my people. But then also, when you share, when you give away what it is that I have given you, God says, I'm going to be praised. There's going to be thanksgiving that is taking place. There's going to be thankfulness that is taking place. People are going to recognize the goodness of God because of the goodness they experienced from me. God has always wanted people to be willing to share, to be willing to be generous, to be willing to give. And as we said at the beginning from 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 7, Paul says that needs to overflow. That needs to go beyond expectations. God is pouring into your life more than you could ever ask or imagine. And the expectation is that those blessings are going to pour out of you into the lives of others. Make sure that you excel in faith, in knowledge, in love, in giving. So what is it that sometimes keeps me from doing that? If I recognize it's that the blessings that I have, the paycheck that I have, the job that I have, the possessions I have, the house I live in, the cars I drive, that ultimately those are gifts from God. That when I have those things and God challenges me to give at least some of those things, to share some of those things with other people, what is it that keeps me from doing that? Maybe stops me from doing it altogether, or at least keeps it from overflowing out of my life. It keeps it from being something that I'm truly generous with. What is it that causes me to clench my fist and like, okay, I guess I'll give, and pry my fingers open to let go of that dollar bill and give it to somebody else that needs it? Well, we come up with a variety of reasons. But I think there's a handful that are kind of common for many of us. And one is just a lack of knowledge. I may not be a very good giver because I didn't know that was a thing. I didn't know I was supposed to. There may be some people that just aren't aware that that is even something that God wants from us. And we recognize there's things, we read through scripture and we talk with other people, we recognize there's ways God wants me to act, ways that he wants me to treat other people, there's actions that he wants me to take and things that he wants me to stay away from, and I recognize all that. I just didn't know. I didn't know that giving was that big of a deal. Or I just wasn't aware of what the need was. I'd be willing to give. I just didn't know there was a need. I wasn't paying attention. God has poured blessings into my life and I'm willing to give them. I just didn't know where to give them. So sometimes it's a lack of knowledge. Sometimes it's just not knowing how to. I don't know. I'm still in the lack of knowledge. I don't know how to do that. I want to be a good giver. I want to share what I have with other people. I'm just not for sure how to go about that. And for some of us, I mean, we're trying to figure out even just how to get bills paid. We don't know how to give beyond just paying for the utilities. And we need some knowledge. We need some help. We need some experience in that. So maybe it's a lack of knowledge. Maybe it's a lack of finances. I'm not a very good giver because I don't have that much to give. And for some of us, that's completely accurate. I mean, for some of us, things are tough right now. And we would love to be better givers, but I mean, we got to tighten things up. We're trying to get bills paid. We're trying to make sure that we got groceries and food on the table. We're trying to make sure that we get needs taken care of for our families. And we would love to be able to give, or at least give more. I just don't have the finances for it right now. For some of us, that's completely accurate. For some of us, we've convinced ourselves that we don't have the finances. And that may not be completely accurate. We've convinced ourselves, I don't have enough. And when I get a better job, when I get a higher paycheck, when I get that promotion, when the kids are older, when the kids are out of the house, or as we say at our house, when the kids are off the payroll, when I don't have to buy all these different things, when this happens, then I will be a better giver. Then I will give more. I just don't have the finances right now. Here's the reality. If you're waiting to get more so that you can give more, studies show that honestly, the more that we get, in general, there's exceptions to the rule, but in general, in our culture, when people get a bigger paycheck and people get more money, they become less generous. There's studies that show that that more money often leads to more expenses. We have lifestyle inflation. And I have more money, so got to get a bigger house, got to get a better car. Got to get nicer clothes. And we don't even pay attention to it. We go out to eat more often. We do different things. And just little by little, we start spending more and more money because we're making more and more money. And it's not that we don't have the ability to give. It's because we've allotted those finances to something else. And we become less generous. For some of us, it's just a psychological thing. Some people, just the more money they have, the less they feel like they have. And they become more They clench their fists a little bit more. I'm worried about losing whatever it is that they've gained. And oftentimes, people with who are what would you call a lower income level, are much more willing to give even the little that they have. There's some people, there's even studies that show that people who make more money actually give a smaller percentage of what they do have. It may even be a bigger dollar amount than some other folks, but it's a smaller percentage overall. That the more money I make, the smaller the percentage is that I give away. And I'm sharing all that with you to say I'm not trying to point any fingers or make anybody feel guilty. I'm just saying the reality is for some of us, when we talk about our lack of finances, and I wish I had more finances because I would give more, I would overflow more in my giving if I had more finances. For sometimes that's completely true. And sometimes that's just something that we've told ourselves. We've convinced ourselves of. So it could be a lack of knowledge, it could be a lack of finances. Quite honestly, a lot of times it's a lack of faith. It's just a lack of faith. I'm not sure that if I increase my giving, if I become a better giver, that God's going to continue to take care of me. I'm not for sure that He's going to continue to pour blessings into my life as I pour those blessings out. I don't know for sure what God is going to do with my gift. I'm not for sure where that money's going to go, and I'm not for sure what's going to happen with it. And I don't trust that, and so I don't give it. If I don't believe that my gift really amounts to anything, and I don't believe that God actually does something with what I choose to give, then I'm going to be a lot less likely to give it. Because I'm not for sure what's going to happen with it. And I'm not for sure that God is going to continue to overflow blessings into my life. It may be one of these things that I talked about. It could be the lack of knowledge. It could be the lack of finances. It could be the lack of faith. It could be a combination of some of those things. But there's, and honestly, we can make an even greater list. We could go on. It could be just a lack of humility. I'm self-centered. I'm thinking about myself. And so that's why I'm not a better giver. And I don't like to be honest with about that, but that's reality. For some of us, it's just a lack of heart. I just don't care. I've got other things that are important to me, and giving and helping other people it's on the list of priorities, but it's not that high on the list. See, the list could go on and on. And what I want to challenge us with this morning is just to be honest with ourselves. Is there something that is keeping me? Is there something that is keeping me from giving what God has given me? Is there something? Is there a cap that's been put on the cup? That God has poured into my life, but I'm having a hard time pouring those things out. And I think this is important for us to talk about this morning, especially as a church family. Not just because it's a challenge from God, but because of just where we are financially right now. So I'm going to take a few minutes to be really honest with the Flagstone family here. And if you're a guest here today, you're welcome to hear this too. But our leadership is wanting this church family to kind of know where we are and expectations and setting vision and setting goals and moving forward after today. So bear with me, okay? Because we really want to be transparent. We really want to be straightforward too. First thing is, this church family has a history of being generous. This church family has gone above and beyond on multiple occasions with their giving and with their generosity. This church family has a habit of taking the blessings that God has poured into us and pouring those out into other people, and pouring those out into this church, and pouring those things out into this community. And if you just look over the last year, with our finances, over the last year, we have been generous people. I mean, we had a mission trip that went to South America. Our teenagers went and served at a special needs camp. That wasn't even planned at the beginning of the year. We've had different, special offerings. There are multiple people in this church family that have given to the Hampshire family, Cody and Daisy, as they're struggling with bills and dealing with their baby that had a brain tumor. We've had people who have donated specifically for our children's ministry, or specifically for different equipment or different furniture, or different needs that we had here at the church building, or different needs that there have been in our community. We have helped people in this community who have come to this church needing guidance, needing resources, even needing financial help just to get back on their feet and get moving forward again. And we have been able to help because of the generosity of this church. I mean, even it boggles me. The generosity on display when this church is given just to get out of our building debt. When we asked this church earlier this year, would you guys give so we can knock our debt down a little more and get that paid off a little faster? You guys went above and beyond. Matter of fact, we're on track to pay off our debt. Scotty, tell me if I'm wrong. We're on track to pay off our debt a lot sooner than what we originally thought. I mean, it's amazing. And I want to thank you for that. And I want you to be proud of that. I want us to give glory to God for that. However, when you look at it, our weekly giving, you know, we take time every week to talk about giving, and we have people who will put stuff in the baskets that we're going to pass around later, or put stuff in the box that we have beside our front door as they leave, or people who go online, they text, you know, their gift, or they go online, and or people mail in checks. They have, you know, a regular contribution that comes out. But our weekly giving has not kept up with our budget this year. And that's happened to us before in the past. But not to this level. And for the first time in the history of Flagstone, we were probably going to end the year with our weekly giving significantly behind our budget. To be really honest with you guys, in case y'all haven't paid attention, in case you don't look in the email when we send out our weekly giving update every week, we are currently, our weekly giving is currently $87,000 below what we budgeted for at this point this year. We asked this church at the beginning of this year, the church family as a whole, to increase our entire weekly giving by $700 every week. That was in January. To this point, we are averaging $1,900 below our budget every week. Wanting to be transparent with you, okay? Now, having said that, and I know that sounds bad, I get it, okay? Here's the good thing. Our weekly giving has kept up with our spending. We are not in the red. We, as far as like the money that's coming in, you know, we have money set aside for different things, and the money that you guys are giving is keeping up with our spending. It's just not keeping up with our budget. Does that make sense? The things that we said, this is what we want to spend this year, and these are the things we want to spend towards. There's some of those things that we haven't done. There's some of those things we're not going to be able to do. Some of those things didn't end up costing as much as what we thought they were going to. But I want everybody to know, like, you know, we are keeping up with our expenses. The lights are staying on. The salaries are being paid. The different things that we have, the different needs that we have in different ministries, those things are happening. However, we have had to make some changes with some of our plans. One of the big ones that a lot in our church family will notice this year, we're not going to host a Feed the Funnel party with Pack Shack this year. I know some of you guys have been asking about that, because for the last 10, at least, years, one Sunday in November, we get the whole church family together and we spend a Sunday morning packing meals together for people in our community that are food challenged. And we're not doing that this year. One of the main reasons is, as fun as that is and what a blessing it is for our community, and I'm so thankful that we get to partner with Pack Shack in that way and get to help our community in that way. But those meals cost money. And we take that out of our church budget. And so that was going to be $11,000-ish to spend. And our leadership thought, let's be good stewards of what we have right now, and let's postpone that this year. So we did. There's some other things that maybe some, you know, our deacons and ministry leaders got together a couple months ago and just kind of said, are there some things that maybe we could tweak or maybe postpone until next year? And for the most part, most of the activities that they plan for, we're doing those things. There's, you know, maybe a men's event or a women's event that got postponed until next year. There's some different things, just, you know, just necessary things. Like, we want to get new chairs in the hub. I know some of y'all don't like those black folding chairs we have in the first place. You just don't like sitting in them. But even beyond that, just about every other week, at least one of those things breaks. We're running out. So some of y'all are like, yay, we're running out. But we want to replace those chairs. But we thought, you know what? Let's wait until next year. We can postpone that a year, and we don't need to spend that money right now. We'll be fine. So there's some things that maybe we've shifted or said we're not doing that this year. We're going to postpone that until next year because we want to be good stewards of what you've given. Our triage ministry and our benevolence ministry, the folks that meet with folks in our community or even in our church family that have needs, we've kind of put a cap on the financial help that we can give folks, at least through the end of the year. We're still helping. There's other resources we're providing. There's other guidance we're providing. We're just not being able to do as much as we would like to do because we want to be good stewards of what we've been given. So I'm wanting to be, and our leadership is wanting to be honest with you and open with you, but this isn't doom and gloom either, okay? So I hope you don't perceive it that way. So you might ask the question, well, why is there such a gap? Why is there such a huge gap in our giving, in our budget? There's a variety of reasons. And I'm not financially wise enough to know all of them. Part of it is, some stuff just ended up, like everything else, ended up costing more. We budgeted for this and it ended up being this. We thought it was going to cost this much money to do this activity or buy this necessity for a ministry, and it ended up being a whole lot more than that. We didn't expect that. Some of it is because things are, I mean, just where we are at with our economy right now here in our country and here in our community, everything costs more. That affects you guys too, doesn't it? I mean, we as individuals, we as families have had to change our budget somewhat, haven't we? It's affected our giving. We're not able to give because things that we need, necessities that we need to have changed, have shifted. It's happened with you as individuals, it's happened with our church family. Our insurance company, we got a new rate this year, twice what we paid before. That wasn't fun. It just cost them more. And so we've had to shift some things around because of that. We've also had some people who were a part of our church family that were really good givers. And over the last year or so, they are not part of our church family anymore. Some of them have moved, some of them have gone to other church families, and that's fine. We're not replacing those good givers, or at least we haven't yet, with more good givers. To kind of help that make sense, I'm just going to use some numbers here. Let's say that you know, we have 10 families who give $50 a week, just round numbers, okay? And then if those 10 families end up going somewhere else and we don't have those 10 families, we don't have 10 other families who are giving $50 a week to make that up, that creates a significant gap in what we have budgeted for. Does that make sense? Okay. Again, I want to be straightforward with you, and I want you, we're talking about this morning, again, because I think it's something that God calls us to, but also I want our church family to know we are in the process right now. We do this at the end of every year. We're in the process right now of asking our deacons and ministry leaders to come up with their budget for next year, and we're going to get that hopefully all shaped up and approved and ready by the end of this year, and we'll share that with you at our church family meeting in January. But we're talking about and we're praying about and we're setting a vision, setting some goals for next year right now. But we want to be men and women who step out in faith. But we also want to be good stewards and not be frivolous. And so we want you to know where we're at, and our budget next year is going to be somewhat based on what our giving has been like this year. We don't see this, and our leadership doesn't see this as something to be fearful of or anxious about. So if I have created fear or anxiety in your heart today, that was not the intention. So as much as you can, please let go of that fear and anxiety. We don't see this as something to be scared of. We see this as an opportunity. We see this as an opportunity, a chance for God to do some amazing things with this church and some amazing things through our church family because of how we choose to give. So what your church leadership is praying about, we ask you to join us in prayer about. We are praying for God to give us not just people who are willing to give more, but to give us more givers, to give us more people who have a heart to give. We're asking God to open our eyes and see all the things that he wants this church family to accomplish through his power and because of his glory and his love and with the blessings that he gives us. We want open eyes to see those things, and we want to move forward in faith towards those things. So we're praying for givers. And we're praying for people who want to have a vision like this leadership does to go out and reach out and connect and serve in this community in ways that we never had before. Because there are people who need a church family like this and who have needs that can be met by a church family like this and who need to know a God like ours. So we need people to join us in that vision. We need people who are willing to give. So how do I become that? How do I become a giver? How do I become a more consistent giver? How do I allow giving to overflow out of me because of what God has poured into me? Let me give you some things to work on real quick, and we'll be done. First thing, maybe the most important thing, is pray about it. Pray about it. Spend some time in prayer, specifically about your heart, not the dollar amount, but your heart when it comes to giving. Jesus told his disciples, ask and it'll be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open. Just ask. God's going to answer. God's going to give you what it is that you need to know. God's going to share with you what you need to experience. So if I'm just not for sure how much I should be giving, I need to pray to God about that. If I want to have just more confidence in giving and more faith in what it is I choose to give, then I need to ask God to bless that and to give me that faith and to bless what it is that I give. If I'm not for sure that I can give more than I currently am, then talk to God about that and ask him to bless me with the ability to give more or to have to find some other way to give and to get involved and get connected and fulfill his mission, even if it's not financial. But I need to pray about it. I need to spend time talking to God about it, inviting his presence into that thought process and into that decision making. I need to pray with my spouse. I need to pray with my family. I need to pray with my connection group. I need to pray with my friends. I need to spend time in prayer saying, God, give me a heart that wants to give and show me how, because God's going to answer. Number two, I need to plan for it. I'm less likely to give, or at least to be a consistent giver, if I don't have a plan in mind in the first place. As I said, we've been in 2 Corinthians chapters 8 and 9 a lot today, right? And Paul is talking to that church in Corinth, and he's on his way there to get a bunch of money from them. They've been collecting funds to give to a church in Jerusalem that has been going through a famine. And they're going to help support them. And Paul is going there, but he sent some people ahead of time to kind of challenge them, like, hey, you guys committed to giving. Let's get ready to give. Paul's going to be coming to get those funds from you so that he can take them to this other church. Let's be ready for that. Here's what Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 5. I thought it necessary to urge the brothers to visit you in advance and finish the arrangements for the generous gift that you have promised. Then it'll be ready as a generous gift, not as one grudgingly given. Paul says, I wanted you to plan ahead of time. I wanted you to have a plan in mind of how you're going to give. Why? Because it's going to make you more generous. You're going to be more willing to give. It's not going to be like somebody walked in the door, caught you off guard, caught you by surprise, said, okay, open your wallet. You're supposed to give now. Paul says, I want you to plan for it. I want you to pray about it. I want you to plan for it and have it in mind because you will be more generous when you do that. So we need a plan for it. And I know, we know that some of us just, we don't know how to do that. We don't know how to plan for it. Some of us don't even know. We've heard of this word budget. We just don't know what it is. Some of us struggle with that. We struggle with getting our finances lined up ahead of time, living by a budget, knowing where all of our finances are going, and making giving a part of that. And that could be some of us that have just, you know, gotten our first job, and we're trying to figure out how do we divvy up this paycheck. And there may be some of us that are about to retire, and we still haven't figured out how to plan for giving. So we want to help with that. So we'll get through the holidays, and after the first of the year, we're going to offer a class on Sunday mornings that's about finances, about having a godly vision, a godly approach to our finances. That's going to include getting out of debt, budgeting, giving. We want to offer that to you. We want to offer that to anybody that you know that would need that information, that knowledge, that help. That's going to start after the first of the year. Because we want this church family, we want all of us to plan to give. We have a plan for it. We're ready for it. Number three, I might need to change my vision. I need to have, first of all, I need to have a vision of what my giving can accomplish. So if I don't have a vision, then I don't even need to change one. I need to have one in the first place. But some of us may need to just, our vision is limited. We may need to expand our vision. We may need to shift what it is that gives us our purpose in giving. This is what I'm giving towards. I've already shared a lot of the things that our giving goes towards. It's not just about our operating expenses, although we need to take care of those things too. But we want to give because we want to reach out to this community, because if above all else, we want people in this community that don't have a relationship with God and don't have a church family to feel connected to find that here. And we need finances to help make that happen. The Jackrabbit 5K that we host every single year has a vision of putting new shoes on the feet of people who can't provide those things for themselves. Our benevolence ministry has a vision. Our triage ministry has a vision of meeting people where they are, accepting them as they are, and then trying to help them move forward. Our teen ministry has a vision of shaping faith and helping our teens not only stay connected to our God, but become leaders in His church moving forward. Our kids ministry has a vision of connecting these tender hearts with God for the first time, so that above all other things that they're figuring out and learning as kids, they learn about an awesome God that loves them. See, we have a vision. We have a vision for the giving that happens here. Do you have that vision too? Do you have a vision for what your giving can go towards? Paul tells the church in Corinth in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 13, because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, others will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ and for your generosity in sharing with them and everyone else. Paul gives a vision to the Corinthians. This is why you're giving. This is what it's going towards. You're going to help people. You're going to meet needs. Lives are going to be changed. People are going to connect with God that had never connected with them before. Why? Because you chose to give. That's the vision. And along with that, I may need to change my motivation. I may see what it is I'm giving towards, and I may have a plan in mind of how to do that. I just don't have the right motivation. For some of us, our motivation to give is guilt. Compulsion. We have to. Church is making us do this. This, I don't know about other churches, this church family is not making you give one single dime. We would love for you to. We're not making you. And I'm not talking about any of this stuff this morning to produce any kinds of feelings of guilt in anyone. The motivation is, I want to be generous. I recognize that God has given me lots of blessings. Those things are overflowing into my life. And I want to pour those things out into the lives of other people. That's my motivation. My motivation is to help people who can't help themselves. My motivation is to connect people to Jesus. My motivation is to connect people to each other and let them feel love and compassion and kindness for each other. My motivation is to empower people to serve and to use the gifts that God has given them with. That's my motivation. And if that is what is moving me to give, then I'm automatically going to become more generous. I'm going to become a better giver. Because it's not just that I know how to give, and it's not just that I see what my gift is going towards. I want to give. You're not having to pry it out of my fingers. I'm not giving through gritted teeth. I can't wait to give. That's what Paul talks about in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, what you are motivated to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. God loves the people who want to give, who look forward to giving. Does that describe your motivation when you give? The last thing, after I've prayed, I've planned, I got a vision, I got motivation, I just need to start. Just start. I know that sounds really simple, but for some of us, we'll spend all of our time planning and thinking about and what should I or shouldn't I do. I mean, start somewhere. Start with something. Start the habit. Sometimes I'm not a consistent giver because I've never started consistently giving. And I need to take action to help do that. And if you don't know where to start, I mean, that's always a question, right? We talk about giving. Well, how much are we talking about? How much more do you want? I don't have a specific dollar amount for you. But let me show you the impact that can happen if you just start with something. Go ahead and throw that chart up, guys. These are numbers that our financial people have shared with me, so you can trust the math. I didn't come up with this myself, okay? This is based on the number of family units we currently have on our roster, okay? Family unit could be one single person. It could be a family of seven. I don't know. Brandon, how many kids are you up to now? Never mind, doesn't matter. family unit can be one or but you understand what I mean by family units? Okay. If every family unit that we currently have on our roster chose to give two more dollars a week than what they are now. Now, for some of us, that's a brand new $2 a week that you're not giving at all. So if you just start with $2, or if you're currently giving on a regular basis and you just add two more dollars every week to what you're currently giving, that will produce $21,000 more by the end of next year. Does that make sense? If you add five more dollars, that will increase our giving for the year by $53,000. And you can see, so forth and so on. So just start. Pray about it. Plan for it. Know why you're doing it. But start. Start giving. Or start giving maybe a little bit more because your gift matters. God's going to do something with it. God can do amazing things with your $2. But you have to be willing to start. God's going to pour into our lives. He's going to overflow into our lives, so our lives are going to overflow into the lives of others. What's keeping that from happening? What's keeping that from happening in your life? I can't answer that for you. Only you can do that. I had an experience yesterday. Now I'm not one of these people who believes in turning on your Christmas lights before Thanksgiving, okay? I'm not judging those of you who are. I'm judging a little bit. All right, I'll confess that. But just because of weather and schedule for our family, we got the outside lights put up on our house yesterday. Not turned on. Just put up. Come to find out, once you got them all put up, like, let's make sure the outlets that we're plugging them into do not work. I have no idea why. They do not work. Changing plug, like doing all of the tricks that we know to do to try to get those lights to come on, can't figure it out. And I felt like Clark Griswold in Christmas Vacation, who had thousands of lights all over his house, had everything ready, had all the cords plugged in and everything, put the two cords together, and what happened? Nothing, right? The lights are there. They're ready to shine. The power is there. There's just something that was disconnected. And that's the way it is in my house right now. The lights are there. They're ready to shine. There's some, I got to figure it out. I don't know what it is. I'll give you an update later. There's something that's disconnected. God has poured blessings into your life. The blessings are there. It's happened. It is happening. My God loves you and pours blessings into your life. There are people who need to experience those things from you. He's given you those things to enjoy for yourself. Please do enjoy them and live in them and know that they come from God and be thankful for them. But also be willing to give those things to other people. There are people who need to experience those blessings that God has given to you. But there's something that's disconnected. Maybe it's my pride. Maybe it's my anxiety. My fear. Maybe it's my apathy and laziness. Maybe it's sin. There's something that is keeping me from pouring out the blessings that God is pouring in. Whether it's my giving, whether it's my compassion, my kindness, my service, my love, my forgiveness of others, God has poured those things into my life, and there's something that has become disconnected and is keeping me from pouring those things out into the lives of others. And we need to remedy that. And so we're going to stand up in just a second. We're going to sing a song together. And I appreciate the attention that you've given this morning. We're going to wrap up in our worship in just a few minutes. But when we stand and when we sing this song together, I want each of us to look at our own hearts, to look at our own lives and ask ourselves, is there something that has become disconnected between me and God? Not just about my finances, just me and Him. Is there something in my life that I've allowed to disconnect the two of us so that He can't be a presence in my life and He can't use me to show His presence in the lives of other people? What is it that's causing the disconnection? And if it's something this church family can help with, you're welcome to come to the front and share that with us. There's no judgment here. There's no criticism. We'll help any way that we can. But let's be honest with ourselves and our God this morning. Whatever that disconnection is, let's ask Him to get rid of it, to heal it, to help us reconnect with Him so that He can impact this community through us, so that the blessings that He overflows into my life can overflow into the lives of others. Can we help that help happen for you? We want to if we can. So let us know how. While together we stand and sing.